played my best for him. Ba-rum-pa-bum-bum. Rum-pa-bum-bum. Rum-pa-bum-bum. All the congregation kept talking, even when I sing. Good morning, Rock Bible Church. Going back to the garden. Good morning, Rock Bible Church.
Good morning.
Hey, all right. Welcome back to the Christmas garden. We started last week in our series. We're going to continue this week. We're going to have even more fun. Want to reiterate, men's ministry, we will meet tomorrow night right in here. It's far too cold to sit out back anymore. We're going to protect the inside of the sanctuary for potential invaders. Okay, we're going to take that role very seriously tomorrow night because we will be invaded by Peter tomorrow night. We're going to find out how we desperately need to be like him and how we desperately need to not be like him at the same time. If you're interested in that, come see me after service. But 7 o'clock tomorrow night, right in here. Commercial's over. Welcome to Christmas. Is that how you say it?
No.
I know. I was at a couple businesses this week, and at the end of our business transactions, I got the happy holidays. This poor guy at one of the big box stores where you have to show your membership before you go in. We won't remain nameless to protect the guilty. They happy holidayed me. I said, Merry Christmas. And they happy holidayed me again.
Did you Merry Christmas again?
No, no. Oh, never poke the bear.
Do it.
I prayed for him. There you go. But I did get some Merry Christmases. And I hope you're Merry Christmasing. Here's why. Because we're in conflict. Mankind. Humankind. From the beginning of time. From the very first garden. And God is on the scene. He is paying attention. He is extremely active. And he's combative. What, Scott? God's not combative. He's gracious and loving, merciful, forgiving. Yes, he's also actively opposing the dark side. And part of the reason that we have Christmas is because the Emmanuel had to strike back. And we're going to look at that this morning. We're going to have some fun with it. We're going to be Old Testament, we're going to be New Testament, and we're going to have some fun. But I want to remind you that one of the first sightings, well, really the first sighting ever of God was in a garden. Genesis chapter 3, we're going to look at that a smidge this week, different section than last week. But then God keeps coming back to gardens. We see him in the Garden of Gethsemane, we see him many other places. Next week, we're going to see him in a different garden than we see him in today. But we love that he continues to show up. And so I want to invite you to the garden this morning. No, I don't always carry a lighter in my pocket. But when I'm going to light a garden-scented candle, then you have a lighter so that when the reading needs help, right, you're good. So let's pray, and we'll jump in. Lord, thanks for this morning. Thanks for your word. Thanks for your son, the Emmanuel, the Messiah, son of David, Lion of Judah, wonderful counselor, mighty God. Lord, we thank you for the peace that he brings, and the cost and the price that he paid to bring it. And I thank you, Lord, that he brings it to us in so many forms, symbolically brought it to so many gardens, but brings it to us, to people, those in desperate need of you. And so we thank you for the whole plan, for reality and how it works. Help us to see it with clarity, understand it with calm. And then, Lord, to have joy and hope, what we read about this morning already, as we move forward with you. Pray that that's what will happen in this time with us this morning in your word, guided by your spirit, to honor you in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, we're going to look at a passage that's less popular. It gets less time. You know, I like equity. Like, we should be fair. Like, I've always liked fairness, right? In this passage, it's a Christmas passage, but we tend to go to Isaiah 7, Isaiah 9, all the famous ones, you know, for unto us this child is born, or the virgin shall be with child. We hear those. I was looking up, and I always like to do things a little different. I like to show you stuff maybe you've yet to see, or show you something that you can see in a different way. Oh, right? Surprise, open a package, and oh, look what I got. So this passage I want us to spend a smidge of time on this morning and enjoy it. We're going to go ahead and jump in. It's Isaiah as well, which is, I mean, really, he's kind of the Christmas prophet in a lot of ways. If you want to find Christmas stuff, Isaiah is the best place. You can AI search and find a bunch of cool passages. This will be one of them. All right. At some point, we're going to get the actual passage up here on. Oh, there. Oh, maybe we're getting close. There we go. Behold my servant. This is Isaiah chapter 42, by the way, chapter or verse 1 and following. Behold my servant. Who's the servant? Isaiah's speaking. He's not speaking about himself. He's prophesying about Messiah. So who's the servant? Jesus. Okay. And based on all the intro that I and setup that I just gave you, this whole section is going to be about Jesus. Got it? Okay. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights, which is awesome, reference to when he gets baptized by John the Baptist in the New Testament. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice? What is that word? He will bring forth
justice.
He will bring forth justice to a few people?
The nations.
The nations. It's where we get the word ethnicity, ethne, right? If you translate it into Greek, that's where you get the word nations, is from ethnicity and ethne. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. What's that mean? It means he won't complain. A bruised reed he will not break, and a fainting burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth
justice.
What's purpose of this servant that his spirit is upon, that he is, delights in? Protect? You see that? Bruised reed. Who could that be? Anybody that's hurting, right? Are reeds meant to be bruised? Anybody like bruising?
No,
right. If you're hurt, if you're injured, if something's wrong, he's not going to make it worse. So he says, I'm not going to break you. Burning wick, he will not quench. What's the purpose of a wick? Burn. If you were a flame, point is he wants you to keep going. He's going to find ways for you to keep going. In order for both those things, for you to get healed or continue in your purpose, there's got to be, what's that last word there?
Justice,
right? Made you say it three times. We're going to see it again. Here we go. Verse 4. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established
justice
in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. Shouldn't that say forgiveness or grace, mercy? No, he wants to establish some things. And we're great as Christians in Christendom, as churches and Christians, talking about his love and his pardon, his sacrifice, the cross. And I think there's the old joke of some churches that are hellfire and brimstone. What do they focus on? The long arm of the law, right? God's going to smush you out if you don't do, and rules and laws. We emphasize that less here at Rock Bible Church. At Christmas, though, it's important for us to remember there's a righteous side to our God, to our Lord. In fact, he's called a righteous judge. What's a judge do? I've always thought, I was always afraid of judges. It's kind of like policemen. It's like, oh, they're going to get me. They're going to pass down a verdict, or they're going to handcuff me, or I'm going to be incarcerated. Minimally, I'm going to get a ticket. Just afraid of authority figures. And then I'm walking into a hardware store. Workbench, True Value, right over here, Santa Rita. Right? What? All my boys are there. I'm going in there, and I'm with my kid. I believe it was the middle one. And we're walking in, and here comes a police officer. Ooh. Street clothes, though. You might remember him. Name was Eric Finn. And we're talking, having a fun old time. And I introduce my son to the police officer. And he's like, wow. I said, yeah, better be careful or he'll get you. Eric corrected me in the moment. I said, no, never project that. I'm not here to bust people or get them in trouble. I'm here to protect you. I'm going to show up when you need me. Policemen are great. And Cy kind of changed his perspective in that moment. Guess who else changed their perspective in that moment? I got corrected in public in front of one of my favorite places. We have this view of God sometimes. He got rules and this and that. And man, if you don't show up on, if you don't give money, if you don't serve, and man, if you let a swear come out, you went to an R movie. We come up with all these things and we think, is God punishing me? No. He's not here to break the bruised or extinguish the smoldering. He's here to protect. So why do we need an eternal policeman or a righteous judge? Because there's evil in the world, right? We need someone on our side that shows up, helps, protects. Amen? I mean, I like gifts as good as anyone. I love ribbons and wrapping. And I mean, you're supposed to get smoked oysters in your stocking. If Santa, that's how you know if Santa came to your house. Okay. There's a little thing of smoked oysters. It's always happened my whole life. I don't know. He's still real. He still comes to my house. I love it. Right. I love that stuff. How do I enjoy any of it if I'm hurt, if I'm broken? If I'm discarded, if I got questions about my relationships, my security, my future, if I'm missing hope or joy, that's why I want to get us back into the garden. Because every time we get in trouble, God shows up in the garden and says, come here. Let me explain it to you. Stop that. Do this. Stand over here. Get behind me. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to heal it. I'm going to make sense. That's who we have. And that's why we need justice. And that's why we need law. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out. I love that. You ever heard Big Bang Theory? Ooh. Made the heavens and then boom, and stretched them out. Oh, wait a minute. Bible coinciding with science, maybe. I put a maybe in there, so you can't email me.
Well, you can.
I'll read it in 3 months, okay? who spread out the earth and what comes from it. Man, I want to ask him what that means when I get to heaven. Who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. Who's that include? Everyone. He gives breath to everyone. Amen? What's that say there about their value? You know, every morning you should wake up and say, oh, wait, am I breathing? Ooh, I must be valuable. I'm still here. And remember that he likes you. And he's meant to protect you and wants to keep you, and he's got purpose for you. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. Now, remember who we're talking about in this passage?
Jesus.
Right? You is Jesus. This is the Lord God talking to Jesus. Isaiah quoting it. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations. Oh, I love this. Covenant. I love this. Some of you have heard this too many times from me. You want a covenant or you want a deal?
Covenant.
You want a promise or a covenant?
Covenant.
Okay. You want assurance or covenant? Well, geez, God, it seems like you said the exact same thing, just with different words. I did. When God says covenant, he says, this is how it will be. Another way to say covenant is reality. God says, this is reality. You're going to be my reality, Jesus. You're going to be Messiah. You're going to be a light to the people. You're going to be a healer, a provider, a protector. I'm going to take you by the hand and make sure that it happens for the ethne. The nations, for all. To open the eyes that are blind, that sound good? I mean, if he shows up to do justice, we've read it at least three times now, but he's helping the blind see, pretty cool. Oh, by the way, did he heal anybody that was blind?
Yes.
Oh, okay, proving who he was. Yes. To bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I'm the Lord, that is my name. My glory I will give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. You want new? I like new. Sometimes. I like tradition. I like same. I like repetition, pattern. I go to my restaurant, I order the same things, right? There's certain things like familiarity, but every once in a while you want new. When do you want new? When do you want new? When old breaks, right? When relationship goes sour, when job ends, when body part starts to work less than it used to, right? Don't raise your hand if you can relate to that. Sometimes we want new, and we have a God that shows up for justice because sometimes he knows you want new, and his plan is for you to get new, especially when you're sideways. When I'm twisted in my thinking, when I'm messed up in my heart, I want God to come in, direct, guide, fix. Say, man, you're looking at that a little black and white. Why don't you find middle for that one? Or, man, you're too middle of the road on that one. I said, go over here. I mean, go hug the mountain. Don't get over close by the cliff. You could fall off. Hug the mountain. That's why we need a judge. That's why we need someone to come and strike back for us, right? Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. That is a flex of our God saying, I know what's going to happen because I'm going to make it happen. And he says, I'm going to do it with my son, Jesus Christ. I'm going to do it in a lot of different ways. And it's going to be to your, we like to say benefit, but he uses a better word, blessing. God wants to bless you. There needs to be some structure and some order. Sometimes there needs to be some protection. Amen? And may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. I want us to look at this and think about why would we need a warrior to show up. You know, they call him the coming king in a few passages. I want something a little softer maybe. When a king shows up, right, he has decrees. He's got a scepter and he's got guards and he conscripts people. He collects tax. Do you want a king? Do we have a king?
Yes.
No, we don't have a king. I'm in the country. Sorry, I failed to distinguish. We're free of a king our whole of our existence. Because that'd be rough if we had a king. What do you want instead? I'm not really sure I'm sold on president either. Okay? I want shepherd. Right? I think one of the greatest compliments I ever got, I was in a separate seminary class. It had to do with pastoral counseling and all this kind of stuff. And we're all the way through the course. We're at the very end, and a professor's talking with us in a group, and somebody said something about me. And the professor said, well, yeah, Scott has a shepherd's heart. And I was like, wow, that sounds awesome. I want a shepherd. Why do you want a shepherd?
Because they care.
They take care of the sheep. Yeah. You know, I was thinking about this week. I love that he's our shepherd. Jesus is our shepherd. You know why? Because one of the things that shepherds do, we never talk about this. They fight wolves. They scare off lions. Love lions and tigers and bears. Oh my, right? David, right? Famous stories of David fighting with a lion and that kind of thing. We need a shepherd because we need protection from the dark things, right? Love that what it said. We read a little bit earlier. Oh, there it is. Prison of those who sit in darkness. As darkness exists. You know, for some of you, you think it's getting darker and it's getting darker. Let me suggest you're getting more mature, more experiences. You're getting older. It's always been this dark. And it started that dark. In fact, when he created the earth, there was no light. He had to create light, right? And then he says, let's put a man out there. Not good for him to be alone. Let's put a woman out there. Let's stick him in the garden. We'll give him everything. Just one tree. Just don't eat from that one tree, right? That goes south because serpent shows up. I don't know how a benevolent God allows a serpent in the garden unless he has no fear of the serpent and knows that he can fix, undo, or protect anything the serpent does. And so the serpent is no threat to God. So he says, let's play with all the toys. We'll put Adam, Eve, serpent. Now let's see how this goes. Hey, did God really say? Oh, well, he did. No, that's not what that means. Your eyes are going to be open. Next thing you know, she takes the fruit. He eats it too. And all of a sudden they know they're naked. And then they hear the sound of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day in the garden. And hey, where are you? Well, who told you were naked? We had to make coverings. And there's this whole exchange. We talked about it last week. You can catch it last week's podcast, right? Or YouTube. We're going to see where this goes. But I want us to see this first, all right? Because God brings to the garden. Last week we talked about God, why he comes to the garden. Now, this week I want us to talk about what he brings to the garden. So if you flip over your outline, look at the back. It's Isaiah 42, 1 through 9. First fill-in is this. What's he bring to the garden? And we just read this a bunch of times. I made you say it over and over. In the second word, I know you know the second word.
Justice,
right? It's not jamboree. I know some of you wanted to put that down. It's will. Thank you, Coach. His will for justice and righteousness. His plan, I said earlier, his reality. This is how it's going to be. I will establish it. That established word, it's kind of a weird word, right? How about I'll make it? I'll create it. I like this one. I'll build it. I'm going to take pieces and put it together. We get that image of creation itself, first two chapters of Genesis. He shows up because, you know what? I want you to know what I want, what I'm thinking about, what I'm projecting, where I'm going. Even better, when we put covenant back into this concept, I want you to know where I'm taking you. He says in the end, every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess. You're going to end up there. Start the journey early. Figure out what justice looks like to him. What's right and wrong? What's good and bad? What works? What's never going to work? What do you view with your eyes? What do you do with your hands? Where do your feet take you? What do you put in your body? What occupies your mind? What fills your heart? Well, God says, I have a will for those things. And when you do those things with righteousness, there's things you spend no time thinking about. There's things you care about, and there's things you let go. There's places your feet will never take you. Stuff your hands will never do. Products you'll never adjust. Words you'll never say. That's awesome. Because that's when it starts working. That's when relationship, opposite sex or friendship, or work, those they all start to make sense. And you get outside of yourself. I need to understand his will because I have two opposite problems. I hold on. I'm loyal. Don't leave me. I hold on to people that are already gone. It's the weirdest thing. They occupy my head and my heart. I think about it. And they're gone. And I'm still trying to hold on. Let go. Here's the opposite. What's the opposite problem? I let go of people. And they're here like, hey, come here. Hey, come spend time with me. Hey, what's going on? Hey, come talk to me, whatever. And I'm like, I'm done with you. I move on. Either one of those healthy? No. Both of those need his will. And clarity of righteousness in how I approach them. I'm telling you, this messed with my head all week prepping for this. How easily I hold on to things I should let go, and how often I hold let go of things that I should embrace. I want to know the difference. I'm starting to figure out the answer to some of those questions is not in here. It's never in here. Ew.
Ew.
I need outside help. To why I need a separate. And then also there's other times when I find myself in an environment bigger than I am. I hate this, by the way. Because when I'm in an environment that's bigger than I am, then I lack control. It is terrifying when someone else has control. Sometimes. When I find myself in one of those environments, I need a God to show up. I need a Jesus to show up. I need a shepherd to show up and protect me, guide me, or say, Sky, you're all worked up. There's no threat here. You're fine. Get over it. Calm down. Stop drinking so much coffee. His will for justice and righteousness. He brings that first thing. And by the way, before this happens, he says, I'll tell you. This is why I'm coming. I'm going to strike back. Let's get to that garden piece I set up, right? All that stuff, the serpent, next thing you know, God says, what have you done? And we get to Genesis chapter 3. We get well into it. I believe, are we 15 or Genesis 3, 15? Let there be. And there was. 13. And then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you've done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. And watch this. This is what we love about Christmas. Wait, what's the serpent and the garden and sin have to do with Christmas? A ton. Then the Lord God said to the serpent, starts with him, by the way, because you've done this, Cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. That's not good. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. Now, I got a lot of questions. Who's the serpent's offspring? A lot of things we could project or conject there. We're going to stay away from that for the moment. Her offspring. Who's her offspring? That's kind of interesting. Eve's offspring? He, is that singular or plural?
Singular.
Singular. He shall bruise your head, you shall bruise his heel. Now, simple question, common. This is like kindergarten level. I think you can answer this one. Would you rather get a hurt ankle or heel or a head injury? Yeah, hurt the ankle, okay? Just stay away from my head. Head bleeds way too much. God says, you're going to have trouble basically with my son. She's going to have an offspring. And you want to cause trouble? He's going to step on your head. Love that. Does Jesus come to set us free? Yes. Does he come to forgive us? Absolutely. There's other agenda too. Know that Christmas is about more than you. Part of it is the eternal battle going on between good and evil. And God wins through Jesus Christ. And we see that. It's really fun. Tempted in the wilderness, right? Satan and Jesus, right? Tempted a bunch of ways. What's Jesus say? Nah. No. Never. Talk to you later. And then what's he do on the cross? Solves it. We look at this section of Genesis, and here's what we get. One of the things that he brings to the garden is his fill-in number two. Starts with O. What does evil need? What would you like evil to have? In this corner, we have the bad guy. Over in this corner, we have the opposition. Evil needs to be opposed. How good are you at that? Average. Scott, I'm average. Giving myself benefit of the doubt even in saying average. Jesus shows up on the scene so that evil loses, so that good wins, right? We need opposition to evil, to sin, and V. There's no V words in the Bible, Scott. V. What's the problem with evil and sin? Where does it lead to? Death, pain, injury. What is the fastest, most effective mechanisms for death, pain, and injury? Starts with V.
Violence.
I want us to be dead clear, pun intended. As Christians in our culture, we are against violence. Period. Pretty much. Really hard to come up with an example otherwise. Theologically, spiritually, we are champions of violence. Why? Because we want evil, Satan, demons, the dark side, badness, we want it crushed. And God's for it too, because he says in the very beginning, I'm going to crush your head. You mess with me, you mess with my people, I love them. Even when they're bruised, I take care of them. I never smolder them. I'm here that none should perish, tells us in the New Testament. I want a violent God, spiritually. We need to be grateful for that. That God comes and takes opposition away. Sometimes sickness, illness is violent. I love the perspective that what Jesus did when he came to the earth is he was violent. It's like, wait, Scott, he was never violent. I mean, he flipped the one table over that one time. What about the cross? Lacks violence. What he did in a weird way was passive violence. He allowed them, set an example. Why? So he could show his ability over death, his ability over pain, his ability to obey, his ability to do justice and righteousness, and went through violence. I'd call that him being violent. I love that. Nothing's a threat. I can handle anything. That's why we need baby Jesus. A cute version? Because he grows up to solve the best things. All right. Last one. Here we go. This is, we see it in verse 6 and verse 9. But God's bringing something. And I want to show you in John 18. This is the other garden. This is Garden of Gethsemane. And here's the exchange. So he's just washed his disciples' feet. He took them through communion for the first time, repurposed Passover meal in some ways, and made them some promises. Hey, this got to happen. I got to die. 3 days later, I got to be raised. You're going to see it. You won't believe it. Peter, you're going to drop the ball 3 times. You're going to deny me. But it's got to happen. Now, come with me into the garden. We're going to pray. A couple of the guys fall asleep. And he wakes up and says, guys, what are you doing? And when he's done speaking, after he had spoken these words, he went out with the disciples across the brook of Kidron where there was a garden. You could almost smell it. Which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches. This is hilarious because those are light sources. And weapons. Violence. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, whom do you seek? Hey, guys, who are you looking for? The answer, Jesus of Nazareth. He said to them, I am he. Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. I have no idea what that is about, but I like it. Wait, you're him? Ooh. You're in the presence of power. So he asked them again, who are you looking for? Who do you see? Why are you here? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said, I told you, I'm he. If you seek me, let these men go. There it is. That's the gospel right there. You know what? Evilness, you're looking for my people. Tell you what you're really looking for is me. Let them go. That's a fun little phrase of what actually happens on the cross. This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, of those whom you gave me, I have lost not one. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. Servant's name was Malchus. Simon Peter, getting violent. It's funny when we think we have to defend God. It's very ironic. Jesus says to Peter, put your sword into your sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me? Ooh, that's a tough one. He says, step back, step aside, sheathe your sword. Put your agenda away. There's a plan here. It's different than what you think. I'm more capable of protecting myself than you're acting right now. In fact, my Father has a cup for me to drink. Now, none of you speak this way, Right? Hey, buddy, you want to go hang out on Saturday? Oh, sorry, I'd like to, but wife has a cup for me to drink that day. We never say that, right? What do we say? I have stuff to do, right? Management, who said it? Management has other plans for me. I love that. Jesus says, you know what? Management has other plans, Peter. Now, if you're a guy and you want to talk about this more, we're going to get into this soon at men's group, but you got to come at 7 o'clock on Monday nights here. Here. See how I slipped in the commercial? Wasn't that fun? What happens here? What's he bring to the garden when he does this? Because we're in the middle of violence, betrayal. I mean, this is wrong in so many ways, and yet totally right, because it is what God has ordained. If he's ordained it, we called it a plan. There's a fun way to say plan. We've got a plan for what's about to happen. I'm going to use a bigger word. It starts with E. It's really a compound word. Two words put together to give a different meaning. Your plan is meant to lead you to your result doesn't start with an E. This is why she leads women's Bible study. End game. What he brings to the garden is he brings an end game. You know, that's really what you want. You want protection for sure. You want to understand his will and righteousness, fill in two and one. At the same time, you want to get to your end game, right? For some of you, I mean, this is super simple. You're making a meal for Christmas coming up or Christmas Eve, or you're going to celebrate whenever you celebrate, and there's a meal planning, right? What's the end game? The protein is warm at the same time as the veggie trays and the things, and then after that, the sugar stuff is available. And by the way, the caffeine is available. You want this whole thing to happen. Everybody's got to show up at a certain time. By the way, how well does that go usually?
Amazing.
I want to be in your family. We want to get to our end game. He gives us the ultimate end game for all of time.
Eternity.
He brings the end game for eternity to the garden, and he keeps reminding us. Because we get distracted by what?
Squirrels.
Yeah. Squirrels. They're known as serpents. We get distracted by the bad, the evil, greed.
Yeah.
And God wants to bring us back to, no. My will, this is what's good, this is what's not. Let's keep moving forward. Are you affirming relationships, and how are you being a blessing? I want to establish justice. I want people to see reality. I want more people at church. Why? So the church can get big? No. Because I want more people in heaven.
Amen.
Jesus comes ultimately to be the end game for eternity and get everybody where they're supposed to go. We absolutely need the Emmanuel to strike back. I'll say this because we tend towards the little dark and violent, a little aggressive. Scott, Scott, I didn't know you were that aggressive. Let's remember, what's the greatest way that he opposes darkness? Forgiveness. And he said it in the Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father who art in heaven, remember that? Right? Forgive us as we forgive them. Right? You actually sang it this morning in the first song. Love that. Be about it. Be about justice and righteousness so long as you're a blessing to those around you. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for taking care of the big things for us. And you take care of them for us, and you do it for us as well. May we know the difference between those two and cling to them. More importantly, Lord, may we cling to you above all else. May we appreciate all that you are, all that you provide. And then may we act with you as our shepherd. We thank you for this season, what it represents. Pray you would help us to project that to a lost culture that needs it. And Lord, project it on our hearts and our minds as well. If you're here this morning, you never asked Jesus to be your shepherd. You never accepted his finished work on the cross and what it represents. You never said, be Lord of my life. You can make that decision today. It's a simple prayer. You can say it however you want. If you need a suggestion, you can say, Lord, I accept you as Savior and Lord today. If that's you, that's why we're here. Come see me after. We'd love to help come alongside you. Father, we thank you for this offering that we're about to receive. Pray you bless it. Help us be what you've called us to be, that you might be known, as the passage says, among the nations. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just because Howard looks at you, it doesn't mean you're supposed to come on stage. I want to switch gears. Robbie and Cassie Wright, parents of five. You've seen them around. Some gave out within Cassie. We're still trying to wait and find out from the report, but she's no longer with us. And family just reached out this week, very private, trying to figure out how to step forward. They need a shepherd in the midst of this violence. It was natural, it wasn't a violent. No one else involved, but I'm sure it feels horrible. So I want to pray for the Wright family right now. Lord, we pray that you would help them, comfort them, show them blessing and grace, help them to grieve. So grateful for the massive amounts of family that have come around alongside them. We set them before you, Lord, know that they need you desperately. Help us to know our role in that. Pray this in your Son Jesus' name, amen. May you trust him as your shepherd. Amen?
Amen.
Go with him.